And joining us right now is Tom Wilson. You know him and you love him from the drawing of Ziggy. And Tom, of course, was a BU guy. You went to Miami and BU, right?
That's right.
Yeah, so...
two great schools.
Yeah. But you're not enjoying the Red Sox thrill. You're not into the World Series right now, huh? You haven't been watching the games?
Well, I've been trying to watch. I mean, usually when I'm sitting in a restaurant or something, it's on and I'll catch a little bit. But I confess I probably have not been watching as avidly as I should. I just pick up a little bit here and there. But, I mean, my heart's always going to be in Boston in one way or another.
Well, you can always be like John Kerry and make believe you're watching the games and then make up names of people who are playing.
Well, it's funny. I get into a conversation with somebody about sports, and, when I was much younger, I watched a lot and participated, but I'm always, there's always a dead silence after people expect me to quote some statistics on a player or something, and it's like, basically I just sit in my little room and draw most of the time, or I'm stuck on airplanes.
Were you always drawing when you were a little kid? Were you always one of those kids scribbling and making some nice drawings?
Oh, yeah, I was. And I was also the kid who was always getting yelled at by the teacher for not paying attention in class and drawing pictures of everybody. I was probably ADD before they even knew it was ADD.
You come from a family of artists. I mean, your dad was the man who started Ziggy and created the cartoon. And I guess your family has many other artists. Tell me a little bit about how that runs through the family blood.
Well, there has to be something. I don't know if there's an art gene or anything, but I do know just being around, artists, I grew up, dad was, a cartoonist and an art director at American Greetings Corporation, so they would have parties at the house, and we'd get all the artists and writers, and some pretty neat people too would show up. This was back in the beatnik times, pretty much, but we would have guys like Bob Crumb come over, and they would play music and everything. So it was just a very exciting thing. Mom is an amazing painter. Dad paints as well, and my sister's even a painter. I'm kind of the I kind of went the more conventional route, although I do love to paint.
Do you have children as well? Tom, do you have children?
Yeah, but I have two boys, Miles and Sam, a 17 and a 13-year-old, and they both love to draw. They love to write, too. I never had cartooning or, the family cartooning business pushed on me by Dad. I'm not doing that with them, but if they have an interest in working on Ziggy, I can certainly use the help. They do contribute ideas every now and then, from a great point of view, a great perspective of a kid. So
I can see you're a young guy, but can you see maybe generations from now one of them taking over the strip as well?
Well, I think I would really like that. Honestly, I mean... again, I want them to follow their own path. It's important. But on the other hand, I'd like to. I'd like to see Ziggy keep going. I'm not that young, but thank you for the compliment. I plan on doing Ziggy for many, many years. As long as people want to see him every day, he'll be in the papers. But it would be nice to keep him going. I'd like to beat that 50-year mark that Sparky Schultz set. We've done 35 so far. I've done it for almost 20. It's got some potential there.
When you think about it, 75 million people read Ziggy. I mean, that's an amazing responsibility for you to present this character, to take care of him, and to kind of, let him keep his personality. I mean, it's a lot of responsibility.
Well... yeah, and I do think about that every now and then. It's, as I said, I work in my office here. It's kind of you're on your own, and you do your drawings and get them mailed out, and then it's very sobering to think that 2 weeks from now, people all over the world in different languages are going to be seeing what you did. It's like you're from solitude to, you know, being all over the world, and there is a responsibility there too. I am sympathetic to that. I always am with Ziggy, because I really do think to communicate well with people, you have to passionately communicate, and you can only really do that if it comes from something inside you, and the people that are reading you are responding from something, you know, deeply held and cherished within them. I think that's one of the reasons Ziggy has become such a classic over the years, because he does speak, you know, from the heart to the heart, and people cherish that, I think.
Mm. Now, Ziggy, of course, has expanded into, I know I have one of his mugs myself, into all different types of things. Have there things been proposed to you that you said, you know something, I don't see Ziggy with that? No. What kind of things have been proposed to you that you said, no, I don't think so?
Well, I mean, yeah, we've done so many products over the years, and some things, I guess I have. If somebody asked me to push a particular political agenda somehow, or endorse something, or represent as a character something that I wouldn't use myself, I naturally wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they couldn't pay me enough money to do that, because it gets back to what I said. There's certain innocuous things like T-shirts and mugs and everything, and dolls, which are great. But I mean, unless you are really, you know, passionate about what you're doing, you can't do it. You certainly can't do it for every day, and you can't do it for 20 years, 35 years. I can't be passionate about something that I don't really care about, so I won't let Ziggy be the spokes character for that.
Mm. Ziggy is a spokes
character. There may have been some things that I'm not aware of over the years, but generally that's my rule of thumb.
Some of the things that Ziggy art is are things that we all look at and we go, wow, that's true. It's so true. I mean, for instance, in the new book, Character Matters, which is is an excellent book, as all of them are. I haven't seen one yet that I didn't like. There's some things that he says that are just, you know, reverberates to our minds. The important thing about Christmas is how you spend it, not how much you spend on it. Things like that.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, don't we all believe that, you know? If you miss the good old days, just find some kids and enjoy theirs. I mean, the philosophies that you espouse through his character is something that I think resonates to a lot of people in this country.
Well, thank you. I think, you know, it's kind of like Einstein said. I think everything, everything should be as simple as possible, but not simpler. And it really are things like simple pleasures, simple humor, that really, you know, ring true to us. I mean, yeah, that's not a far side, but it's funny because it's endearing, and there's something that makes you feel good about it. I mean, that's what humor does. It makes you feel good. It makes you feel positive. You have a responsibility. You have only so much time and space in a newspaper, so why not make people feel better, add something positive, rather than, spout off and make people feel bad about something.
Here's a great one. Happiness doesn't depend on how much you have to enjoy, but how much you enjoy what you have. How true. Many people don't think of these things. It's, it's kind of like simplistic, like a bumper sticker sometimes, but on the other hand, it resonates.
Well, yes, it does. It is very simplistic. And you know, people don't think about it all the time, but people do know these things. And I think every once in a while, it's not such a bad idea to just bring them to the surface and remind people about these things. It's, I think there's another one in there. You know, you count your blessings, you know, when you can't sleep. You know, you could buy farm animals, basically. there's so many of them, and we're aware of them, but we don't celebrate them very often.
No, it's
we're
true.
So busy.
Yeah. You know, the philosophy of Ziggy, who goes through a lot of things, but comes through okay, is a lesson to many people.
You know, when Ziggy started out, years ago, I think back in the early 70s, late, when he was first syndicated. I think he was out in about 15 papers. And he was sort of billed as, you know, the lovable loser, which is true. I mean, loser-type things happen to him. He's last in line for everything.
Mm-hmm.
But over the years, because he keeps coming back, and every day he's dealing with something, you know, and but yet he's back there the next day, you know, waiting to join you in the newspaper for coffee, you know, he's become kind of inspirational. People tell me that in letters and things, and I feel it even. He isn't so much a loser as a very persevering spirit.
True.
In fact, one of his, no matter how tough things are.
Yeah, one of the things he says in this book, in Character Matters, you only go around once, but you can bounce back as many times as you like.
Yes, and we all, I think we have to learn how to bounce. You know, it's easy to go around and around, but bouncing is a little more difficult. It takes time, it takes some wisdom and understanding, and a lot of hitting the wall every now and then.
You know, this campaign, that's national campaign for president, is so fractious. And America is seeing so much hate on both sides coming out, and even in local politics we're seeing out here some hateful things going on. So it's kind of nice sometimes to have a refreshing person kind of pull us out of that gutter and give us some kind of some hope.
And that's the place I want Ziggy to be, and boy, you're absolutely right. I you know, people send me things that, you know, they expect me to react to political things. You know, who are you voting for and everything? And it's almost like, does it matter? I mean, you know, you like me already. Does it, you know, is how I vote going to change the kind of person I am, or whether I'm a good person or a bad person? I said, why not judge me on how I deal with people and how I care? I don't think really how I vote is anybody's business but my own. I think I've seen a lot of very angry and mean things being said all over the place at this time of year, and it's like, hey, you know, not to sound too Pollyanna, but I mean, there's enough division in the world and the nation as it is, and there are ways to get your point across by being positive rather than, you know, negative and divisive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To me, it's the natural way to go.
I mean,
we're all guilty
well.
Of getting angry and upset once in a while, but I mean, still, you know, why foster anger when you don't have to? If you've got something to say, why not bring something positive into the world? It may be a good debate point. It may be a good fact, but don't do name calling. I'm sorry. I don't mean to preach. I do take this very. I feel passionate about a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not sports as much as I should, or even politics, but in general, I'm very passionate about the human spirit. I think the true self is the one that really counts.
I kind of agree with you right there. Character Matters, you've started a company called that. Tell me about that.
Oh, yeah, thanks. This is something that I've wanted to do for years. And finally, we just hung our sign out. It's called Character Matters. It is a business. Basically, it's a business that develops characters for businesses and brands as spokes characters, representing brands and actually the business of itself. We have a website up now called charactermatters.net. Invite people to look into. Again, the same philosophy and all the experience that Ziggy has given me and the people I work with who worked on major licensing products and characters is you get to the character of the business or the brand and you bring that out. As I said, you can't communicate in a more passionate way than communicating from your true character, from who you really are. And I think there's an equity in everything, the true character, whether it's a business, a person, anything, that people don't pay enough attention to and don't realize they have. And I think in business, it's probably the strongest asset a business possesses. What are their beliefs? Why are they passionate? That's what sets them apart from the competition. Not necessarily how cheap something can be compared to the competitor.
I agree with you fully.
So that's what we try and do.
Yeah. So is there actually a website for Ziggy as well?
Well, yeah, there's quite a few over the place. I know the there's one called, if you type in Ziggy Zone, www.ziggyzone.com. We have a site that's connected, I believe, to the Universal Press Syndicate website, which I think is comics.com.
Hmm.
And what's great, and then there's mycomicspage.com. Is another one that does it, and what they do is they archive. It's great because I use it as a resource. You can kind of go back and see if I already did that one, or they colorize them and you can print them and order them and customize things. You know,
do you ever sit down and think of a great idea and then actually realize you did the exact same thing 10 years ago?
Well, yes, I have, and that's the thing. I mean. And while, you know, because people come in and out of the comics, you know, it may be missed, but I do that, and I realize, oh, no, I just did that one, or I did something very close to that, but good grief, I've done, do something for 20 years, 365 days a year. It's surprising you. Really, that I don't repeat myself more. It's again situationally. Ziggy dictates what works for him, and I think personally too, what works for him and what doesn't. And there's certain areas that are very Ziggy-esque, and I use those because I think they show him, and he shows the truth of the humor in that situation very well. So. There is some overlapping, and I apologize for that, but it's entirely unintentional.
How old were you when you got involved with Ziggy, with your dad?
Well, I've been with Ziggy all his life, and most of mine. I think I was 12, 13 years old when Dad first became syndicated with Ziggy. As I said, I grew up with him. He's kind of my successful younger brother, and... like me now with my sons, Dad would be, come home from his regular job and he'd be sitting at the dinner table after dinner drawing, or in front of the TV set on a Friday night, we're watching monster movies and he's on the floor drawing and, still trying to balance that time between family and work, which he was a very busy man.
Mm-hmm.
But he managed to do that. I struggle with that today. But Ziggy has, I grew up with him from I remember the day that Dad got syndicated, and he looked at me and he said, I think this thing just might take off. he just had a feeling, and sure enough, it became one of the most successful licensed characters in history, I think.
In 87, when you took it over, were you fully prepared and ready to step in?
Yes and no. I mean, I never planned to. I never, as I said, Dad never pushed it on me. But I always admired Dad's work, and I always admired my father. Because of that, and because I love my dad, I would, help. And so I gradually did writing more and more, and then, he'd hand me the pencils to ink. And it got to the point where I was doing primarily almost all the writing, and a good part of the, and then finally just inking them and drawing them myself. And I just sort of, he became my responsibility as Dad's health, failed. He's had some severe health issues over the years, but he's doing well now. And I felt very comfortable. It was a very easy and smooth transition for me because I love the character so much, and I feel like there's a lot of me in Ziggy.
Does he ever say to you, "Hey, Tom, why don't you do this or why don't you do that? I remember when I was doing it. Why don't you do that?"
Well, he has in the past. He hasn't done so much anymore. And to me, that's kind of a compliment. I think he thinks that I'm doing a pretty good job. Believe me, he cared and still cares very passionately about everything that, he puts his hand to. I think I'm included in that as his son as well. The fact that he seems to be... kind of, you know, feeling like he's on a good course. It makes me feel good. So he's not critical to me anymore. He would give me pointers every now and then. I mean, Ziggy's nose, I mean, Ziggy looks like a very simple character. But any time that we have a company, say, do greeting cards or something, I mean, they struggle with some of the things that look like the easiest parts of Ziggy. They call his little scoop on his nose from a profile the million-dollar curve.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to struggle to get it right. It looks simple, but it's not. It takes really years and years of just doing it naturally. And I'm at the point now where Ziggy's very natural for me.
Well, the book is called Character Matters, and it's available in bookstores everywhere from Andrew McMeel Publishing. And, again, Tom Wilson is the author. Tom, it was a pleasure talking to you today.
Oh, it was nice talking to you, too. And hello, Boston. I hope to get back there real soon.
Oh, when you do, make sure you give us a call. We'll have lunch.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Take care.
Again.
Bye-bye.